Deems said shakily. Up there on the mountain, they're out of line of sight from our antenna, and we don't have any working commsats to relay a signal to them.
But there must be something we can do.
Wait, said Killifer. Ree stared at him aghast. That's all we can do, Killifer said almost gruffly. Unless you want to kill yourself, too.
You think they're dead?
Killifer grunted, then answered, as good as. The radiation is definitely receding, the main communications technician said to Greg. In another 5 or 6 hours, it ought to be almost down to normal. Greg nodded curtly. He'd been hearing another 5 hours for the past 6 hours at least.
You'd better get some rest.
Turning, Greg saw it was Ginny Anson who had just entered the control center.
You look like hell, Anson said cheerfully.
She was fresh and bright-eyed.
I'll wait here, said Greg.
Get to bed before you fall down and hurt yourself, Anson said firmly.
That's not advice, it's an order.
Greg smiled tiredly at her.
You're ordering me?
I'm still director of this rat's nest. Get your butt into your bunk, now. For a moment, Greg wondered how far he might go in showing her who the real boss was. How far might she go, he asked himself. She'd call security and have me carried to my quarters, he realized, staring into her steady, unwavering, steel-gray eyes. Okay, he said, his voice slurring slightly. But you call me
the instant anything happens, Anson promised.
Greg trudged off to his quarters, not certain he remembered exactly where they were. He found the door eventually and flopped fully clothed on the bunk. He dreamed. Not of Doug and the others trapped in the radiation storm, but of his mother. The two of them were in the cave, at the flare party, dancing together.
Did you mean what you said back in the shelter? Doug asked.
Lying prone beside him, Brennard said,
What did I say?
That you didn't care if you lived or died?
The older man hesitated a moment, then replied,
Yeah, I meant it.
Doug couldn't believe it.
Really?
Everybody dies, kid. Sorry I let you come along, though. You shouldn't have been involved in this.
You think we're going to die?
I'm already dying, Brennard said. Cancer in my lymph nodes.
Shocked, Doug blurted, But how could they let you keep on working? With a low chuckle, Brennard said,
Because they don't know. I have my own doctor, my own physical. The corporation records are, well, doctored.
Falsified?
Doug had never dreamed such a thing was possible.
Friends in high places, said Brennard. It happens when you've been around long enough.
You really have cancer?
Terminal. Unless the radiation treatment we're getting right now burns it out of me.
He laughed sardonically.
Cancer, Doug repeated.
It's kind of an occupational disease when you spend a lot of time up here.
But
Doug's mind was churning.
But there are treatments. Nanotherapy could...
Find me a nanotherapy clinic that's still open and I'll go to it, Brennard said bitterly. The ones that haven't been shut down by the lawyers have been burned down by the mobs.
Even in Switzerland?
Switzerland, Thailand, Argentina. The only people I could find doing nanotherapy now are crooks and frauds. Black market. You pay in advance and you take what you get, not for me.
But my mother's talked about clinics in Switzerland.
Your mom's a very rich woman, Doug. I don't have that kind of money, or clout.
I do, Doug said.
For a few moments, Brennard was silent. Then he said,
I appreciate it, kid. But I think it's too late for me, even with nanotherapy.
How do you know?
Hey, I've had a damn good life. They'll put up a statue to me here on the moon after I'm gone. What more could I ask for?
How old are you?
51, in September, if I make it that far.
I'll be 19 next August.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Brennard said. I shouldn't have let you talk me into bringing you along.
I'm not sorry about it, Doug said.
He realized that he truly meant it.
I would have kicked myself for the rest of my life if I hadn't come up here with you.
Brennard made a noise that might have been a snort or a suppressed laugh.
You know what we used to say about test pilots back when we still used test pilots? More guts than brains.
Doug laughed out loud.
Yeah, that's us.
That's what it boils down to. You know what you're doing is dangerous, but it's so damned inviting. Like a really nasty-looking woman you see at a bar. You know she's trouble, but you can't help yourself.
I've never heard it put that way before, Duck said.
Yeah, Brainard almost sighed. You can't turn it down, so you tell yourself you can handle the danger. You're prepared for it.
My father must have been like that.
He was one smart turkey, let me tell you. He knew when to hold 'em and when to fold 'em. Never took a chance he hadn't calculated out to 6 decimal places.
I never knew him, said Doug. He died before I was born.
That's what impressed me about you, kid. You didn't just decide to run up this mountaintop for the glory of it. You calculated the odds first.
I didn't calculate on our hopper dying, though.
Like the man says, you can't win 'em all.
Doug nodded, blinking at perspiration that was trickling into his eyes.
If we get through this without being totally fried, Brainard asked, what do you want to do with your life?
You mean the 10 minutes I might have left?
Come on, seriously, have you thought about it?
Not much.
You ought to. A guy in your position has all sorts of opportunities open to him. You ought to start thinking seriously about them.
I've sort of been following my father's footsteps, Doug admitted. I've never thought about anything but Moonbase.
You could do a lot worse, said Brainard. Your father knew which way was up.
I sort of thought I'd like to study architecture. It was something of a confession. Doug had never told anyone about that, not even his mother.
Architecture?
Shrugging inside his spacesuit, Doug replied, lunar architecture, you know. I want to build a real city here.
Oh-ho, Brainard said. You really have the bug, don't you?
Maybe it's genetic.
No, said Brainard. It's the frontier. It gets to you. Like Mark Twain said, when it's steamboat time, you steam.
Steamboat time?
In Twain's era, the steamboat was the exciting thing. Another generation of kids wanted to be railroad engineers. Then came airplanes, and any self-respecting youngster wanted to be a pilot.
And then came the moon, Doug said. And they all wanted to be astronauts.
And now you want to be a lunar architect.
If we get out of this, Doug pointed out.
Ignoring that, Brainard went on. You want to build, to add something to the world like your dad. That's good. Everybody should leave his mark on the world.
You've certainly left yours, Doug said. They really will build a statue to you.
I've had a hell of a lot of fun doing it, Brainard said. Too bad it's got to end.
Like the man says, Doug quoted him, everybody dies. They fell silent again.
Eventually, Doug said,
I wish I could have had a life like yours.
With a low chuckle, Brainard replied, you can have it, kid. It's not all that much, you know.
But you're a real legend. You've done so much.
Except the one thing I really wanted.
What was that?
Mars.
You wanted to go on the Mars mission?
Doug felt stupid as he heard his own words. Of course Brainard wanted to go on the Mars mission. Who wouldn't? The lead American astronaut was a friend of mine, Pete Connors, said Brainard. Pete's a good guy, but I'm a better one.
Then why didn't they pick you?
Bunch of academics made the selections. Brainard said the word academics very much the way he pronounced lawyers. I work for a dirty old profit-making corporation. Pete always stayed with the government program.
And that's why they didn't take you?
That's why. But that's rotten. They must have been a bunch of brain-dead turds.
Brainard laughed softly.
Pete did a good job. They got back okay.
A second Mars expedition was being put together, Doug knew. Moonbase was supplying all their oxygen, and Masterson Orbital Factories were building spacecraft and electronics assemblies on government contracts for a fixed fee.
It's a damned shame, Doug mumbled. Yeah, but I'll get a statue and Pete won't.
They ought to put your statue right here, up at the summit.
No, no. I want it at Moonbase, Brainard objected. Nobody'll see it if you put it here.
Doug replied, we'll run special tours to Mount Wasser to see your statue. He could sense the older man grinning.
Make more money that way, huh?
Might as well.
Why the hell not? Good thinking.
Hesitantly, Doug asked, is there anyone, do you have any family?
Nope.